Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This lecture is presented to you by the Center for Islamic Information and Education. We strive to provide authentic Islamic audio lectures promoting teachings from the Quran and the Sunnah. We pray you benefit from this lecture and that it be a means of betterment for you. For more information or to acquire other lectures, please visit www.ciie.org.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, those who read كتاب الله عز وجل day and night would like to share with you a story. Allah سبحانه وتعالى mentioned in his book several times. You almost face this story in every juz you read, surah after another, Allah Azza wa Jal talking about this story and reminding us of this story. You will never be bored when you read it, when you repeat it, and every time you will be amazed with such great amount of lessons and wisdom you will learn from this story. It is the story of the father of the humanity, Adam, Abu al-Bashar, and the father for all evil, al-Shaytan, Iblis al-Rajim, a'adana Allah wa iyyakum minh. My brothers and sisters, as much as we think about this story, and we try to learn from this story lessons for our life, as much as we'll be amazed and surprised that there is a lot of lessons we can learn from this story, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated this story so many times in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal told us this story in different ways, in different forms. Sometimes He mentioned it generally. Sometimes He gave us detail about this story, and repeating it, no doubt it's for a great wisdom, which is for us to learn. Today I'm not going over the story or the whole story. I would like only to concentrate in one small area. The area I would like to start my lecture, it's in Allah Azza wa Jal's verse in Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. And another verse, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. Iblis, الشيطان, told our father Adam and our mother Hawa, Eve, he swear by Allah. وَقَاسَمَهُمَا. He said, I swear by Allah, I'm a sincere advisor for both of you. Listen to his advice, or how he advised Adam alayhi salam and his wife. He said, وَمَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allah did not forbid both of you to eat from that forbidden tree for any reason, but that He don't want you to turn to be an angel or to stay forever. وَمَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ. Everybody should ask himself a question here. Didn't Adam alayhi salam have seen with his own eyes the angels prostrating themselves before him? He saw that. He witnessed that. So he knows that he is in a status higher than the angels. So whenever you want to deceive somebody, you want to trick somebody, you want to lead him to do something you want, you have to tempt him with something higher than what he has, better than what he has. That's right. Otherwise, there is no sense of deceiving him in that way. So here is Shaitan telling Adam, if you eat from this tree, you will turn to be an angel. But he knows that he's better than the angels. The angels prostrate themselves before him. So what's the point? The shaitan is more smarter than what you think. He is deceiving him with something he knows that Adam loveth the most, and he would love to do it. Adam, alayhi salam, he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is forbidden for you and your wife to eat from this tree. And Adam, his intention wasn't to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to disobey a direct order from Allah azza wa jal. So what the meaning of this verse? How Iblis was able to deceive Adam by telling him, when you eat, you will turn to be an angel. قال العلماء لما كان الإغراء يكون بالأعلى دون الأدنى علم أن مراد الشيطان. We realized that the shaitan, when he said that you will turn to be an angel, he didn't meant you will be in a status of the angels, because Adam knows that he's in higher status. But he is telling him, you will be like the angels. In what sense? That Adam alayhi salam have witnessed that he sleeps and angels doesn't. He witnessed that Adam, sometimes he forget to pronounce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name or to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, or he doesn't make tasbih and dhikr all the time. But the angels, they do not. They are 24/7, if there is seven over there. You know, there is all the time worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dhikr, making ibadah, making tasbih, thanking Allah azza wa jal, day and night. There's non-stop ibadah, non-stop dhikr, non-stop shukr, thanking Allah azza wa jal. But Adam is not like that. And Adam found himself, he has, the way Allah created him, different. So shaitan telling him, since Allah azza wa jal created you, in another word, to explain that meaning in more detail, that shaitan telling Adam, if you want to reach the status of the angels, to be a great worshipper like the angels, to be great thankful for your Lord, the one who created you, to be and to be and to be, all this list of things that Adam wished to be, a grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great worshipper to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, your way to do that is this way, by eating from this tree. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ يَأْتِي لِلْمُحْسِنِ مِنْ بَابِ الْإِحْسَانِ وَلِلطَّائِعِ مِنْ بَابِ الْعِبَادَةِ. A shaitan, when he sees somebody religious or good, he wouldn't come to him to tell him, disobey Allah. He sees you coming to the masjid, he wouldn't say, you know, there is a bar next door, go to it. Or there is a striptease club, go there or stay there. He's not going to tell you that, because he knows that he will say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You wouldn't do something like that. And he's more smart than what you think. He wouldn't come to you from that door. He will come to the person from the door that he knows that he can trick you from it. He can deceive you from it. That's why الأوزاعي رحمه الله تعالى said that الشيطان had a meeting with his high ranks, or the leader of his army, or the high ranks lieutenant in his armies, and he told them, how do you deceive the son of Adams? اجتمع بأكبر أعوانه وقال لهم كيف يعني تفسدون بني آدم. Then he asked them, did you come to them from the gate of astighfar, asking forgiveness? Stopping them from asking forgiveness? Or close that door for them? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla, as Imam al-Bukhari narrated in his Sahih, أن أنس رضي الله عنه said, that النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لما خلق الله السماء والأرض. When Allah Azza wa Jalla created the heavens and the earth, He created in the heavens a door. جعل الله في السماء بابا ما بين مصراعيه كما بين المشرق والمغرب. Allah created a gate in the heaven, and that gate as wider as the east and the west, the horizon. That gate is called the gate of التوبه والاستغفار, repenting to Allah, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to ask forgiveness. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that gate so wide, so everybody can go through it. Allahu Akbar. It will never be closed until the sun will come from the west instead of the east. Will rise from the west. لن يغلق حتى تخرج الشمس من مغربها. It will not be, this gate will not be closed until the sun comes from the west side. Anyway, so they said, who can stop anybody from making istighfar? Who can stop anybody from repenting? We cannot. This is the only gate, we cannot close it. This is the only gate, we cannot deceive them from it. From that area, he said, I will, as shaitan. Why? Because he learned the lesson from the first day in the history of the humanity. He learned that he can deceive Eve, Adam and Eve from the area that they will never expect the shaitan will come from. It is from the area where they want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of the sudden they found themselves disobeying Allah. All of the sudden they found that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became angry at them instead of being pleased with what they're doing. So he said, لَأَنْشُرَنَّ بَيْنَهُمُ الْبِدَعِ I will spread among them the innovations. So nobody will think to repent from it. And that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. That the person, when he starts practicing or pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or trying to reach Allah azza wa jal, in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger's way, he will never reach Allah and he will never make a U-turn. Because he feels that he's in the right direction. What's wrong? I'm doing great things. I'm making dhikr. I'm making salat. I'm making ibadah. I'm doing something good. I'm donating for the sake of Allah. I'm fasting for the sake of Allah. I'm making qiyam al-layl for the sake of Allah. But he doesn't know that this act of worship might be, and things lead the person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. That's the scary part about this subject. As Allah Azza Jal said, قُلْ هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا Do you want to hear about the greatest loser in the Day of Judgment? Who doesn't? Everybody would like to know who's the greatest loser in the Day of Judgment. It's not the kuffar, no. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا Those who have done a lot in this dunya, in this life, and all what they have did or done in this dunya is basically nothing in the Day of Judgment. They wouldn't be able to benefit from it, but because it will not be accepted from them. الشيطان deceived all the nations before Muslims from the same area. When you read about the history of any religion, which has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find that shaitan start with them by asking them or leading them to invent ways in their religion which was not exist in the time of their prophets. All of us know about the history of Musa and his people, Jesus and his follower. Oh, people just changing the message, adding things from their own, changing things from their own. Start worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal the way they think it's right, or the way they found their parents or their grandparents or the generations before them. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal warned us from dealing with the religion as an inheritance, something we inherited from our grandfathers and grandmothers. And that's exactly what happened to the nations before us. الَّذِينَ وَرِثُوا الْكِتَابِ يَأْخُذُونَ عَرَضَ هَذَا الْأَدْنَى وَيَقُولُونَ سَيُغْفَرُونَ They inherited the book. When you inherited the book, it's like your father died and he left something for you. You inherited, oh, it's mashallah, nice. Maybe it's a house or something or a piece of art. You put it in the side. But it's just something you inherited. You didn't earn it yourself. That's why one of the nature of this religion that you feel that every time you read the Quran, as Ibn Mas'ud said, Whenever you hear Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, as if Allah is talking to you right now directly. That's every time you look at the Sharia, the Hadith, and the ayat of Al Quran, you feel as if it's a fresh. It's not something old. وَلَا يَبْلَى بِكَثْرَةِ التِّكْرَارِ كَمَا قَالَ ابْنُ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. This Quran will never be. You will never feel it's old, no matter how much you repeat the verses. We read Al-Fatiha every time, every day, in every salat, in every rak'ah. But nobody ever gets bored of it. How? Every time you love it, you like it. That's why, brothers and sisters, Al-A'immah, the great early Muslims, Imams, said, Al-Bid'atu ahabbu ila Iblis min al-Ma'asiyah. Iblis loves bid'ah more than regular sins. Why? Because regular sins, people repent from it. Somebody drink alcohol, somebody using interest or usury or whatever. What's going to happen to him? And he knows that this is sin, that's haram. He's a'udhu billah doing one of these indecent acts, fornications or whatever. One day he will know that's wrong and he will repent. But somebody celebrating the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ, for example. What's wrong with that? Ya akhi, we're making dhikr, we're talking about the Prophet. We love the Prophet, we express our love to the Prophet. What's wrong with that? You would never think it's something wrong with that. Somebody said, you know what, I'm going to start something which is in the middle of Sha'ban, I would pray 100 or 99 rak'ahs every middle of Sha'ban every year. What's wrong with that? That's a great thing. I'm going to start from now on, before I go to bed, I'm going to make for me a certain dhikr or a certain supplications. I'm going to take it every day to do it. What's wrong with that? That's why Ibn Sirin in Medina, when he saw a man in Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying after Maghrib 8 rak'ahs, which is something common these days by some people, that they think that it's sunnah to pray 8 rak'ahs between Maghrib and Isha. Anyway, that Ibn Sirin asked him, why are you doing that? He said, I've been doing this all my life. He said, after Maghrib, only 2 rak'ahs. Qala Ibn Sirin, وَمَا يَضِيرُنِي فِي رَكَعَاتٍ أَزِيدُهَا. What's wrong with an extra 6 rak'ahs I'm adding it to your 2 rak'ahs? See how he said? Like most of the people. قَالَ لَهُ Ibn Sirin, يَا ابْنَ أَخِي لَيْسَ فِي خِلَافِ السُّنَّةِ رَجَاءُ ثَوَابٍ. My cousin, which is a friendly way of talking Arabic, ابن أخي. He, يعني, maybe my cousin, it's in English, it's not sounds that, يعني, buddy, you know, in English, in an American way. There is no reward for any act. You will do it, which it doesn't go with the Prophet ﷺ's sunnah. Which it doesn't go with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. In Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this hadith reported by Ibn Abi Asim and Anas Aydan, that in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah hajab at-tawbah an sahibi kulli bid'atin hatta yad'a bid'atah." Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did not allow it or did not guide. He will not guide. Allah will not guide innovator to repent from his innovation until he will quit practicing this bid'ah. Basically, that's what hadith means. يعني, the person who practicing innovations, he will not repent from it. As Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, this hadith means, يعني, Allah will not accept from him any repentance until he change his way and he goes back to the sunnah. But if he practice any other sin and he repent from it, it will be accepted. My brothers and sisters, كم جمعت البدعة ومنحت. البدعة have brought to us as individual, community, society, countries, as a Muslims, ummah, nation, brought to us so many things and prevent us from certain things as individuals or as communities or as nation, as a whole, as all one nation. So, first of all, جميع أعمال المبتدعة هباء لا نفع فيها ولا رجاء. All act of bid'ah, of innovations, no reward for it. No matter how much sincere you are, you will not be rewarded for it. And Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa min fa huwa rad. And the Imam Muslim in hadith Aisha radiallahu anha. Imam Muslim reported that Aisha radiallahu anha related that the Prophet said, whoever practiced something not from our religion, it will not be accepted from him. It will be rejected. Period. Anything. And I say anything because this hadith is very clear. Some people said, no, ya akhi, maybe there is good bid'ah. This is not that there is something invented, acceptable. Listen carefully to the hadith. Man ahdatha, man ahdatha fi amrina hada ma laysa min. This word ma, ma, يعني اسم موصول بمعنى الذي. هذا عند الأصوليين صيغة من أعظم صيغ العموم. يعني يعم كل شيء. The form of this hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ say ma, it means a very general statement which is cover all kind of practice. Anything related to religion, something you want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it, it comes under this hadith. If it's not from the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be rejected. Easy as that and clear as this. That's why Ibn Umar used to say after the hadith, kullu bid'atin dalala. Every bid'ah is dalala. What's dalala? Dalala comes from the word dalla, which it means the ish, misguide. The person or things been goes in the wrong direction. Why you do the act of worship? To reach Jannah, to lead you to Jannah. Al-bid'ah mislead you. Because you want to be lead to Jannah, it will mislead you. It will not take you to the Jannah. That's why the Prophet called it dalala. Because it will mislead you. You think it leading you to the Jannah, but in fact, it leads you to other direction. What's that direction? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet said, in the next word, he said, وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Every dalala, every mislead lead to the Jannah. Because it is the Jannah. If you miss that goal, there is no other direction other than hellfire, a'udhu billah. It's only two ways. So that's the dangers of the bid'ah. Ibn Umar used to say, كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَ وَلَوْ رَآهَا النَّاسُ حَسَنَةً. Ibn Umar used to say, every bid'ah, every innovation, it misleads you. Even though if some people will think it is something good. How much adhkar and awrad and ta'widat and act of worship and maybe salawat and celebrations Muslims doing. And in the Day of Judgment comes as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلْ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Comes like a mountain. You think you have mountains of good deeds. But in fact it's not. أعوذ بالله. That's why al-usuliyyud, the scholar usul fiqh, when they talk about the al-muharram, what is forbidden in sharia, ahlu sunnati minhum adraju bab al-bid'a fee. The Sunni Muslim scholars who talk about usul, when they talk about what is forbidden in Islam, they said every single innovation, it's a sin. So imagine you thinking you're earning or you're increasing your count or your account in the good deeds, it turns that you're increasing your account in the bad deeds. A'udhu billah. How dangerous and serious this issue is. The scholar also said that bid'ah will bring to you a great fitna. That the person will be in a great fitna. And we mean by fitna that it leads the person, a'udhu billah, to the kufr and shirk. Yes. It leads the person, it's one of the first steps that the person leave Islam. And don't be surprised. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that to us. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كما عند البخاري ومسلم وغيرهما بخاري ومسلم من حديث علي رضي الله عنه وحديث أنس وحديث أبي سعيد. So many of the صحابة رضي الله عنهم narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that there is a people who will come after me. When you compare your praying to their praying, you will see your praying nothing comparing to them. He's talking about who? Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Umar, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Not me and you. Talk about the Prophet companion's prayer. When you compare it to those people's prayer, the Prophet companion's prayer seems to be nothing comparing to them. And their fasting to this, those groups fasting, the Prophet companion's fasting seems to be nothing comparing to them. And those group will read Al-Quran. Reading Quran. But this Quran is only comes out as a voice, but it will not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a good deed. يقرؤون القرآن لا يجاوز حناجرهم. يعني قال العلماء يعني أجره لا يجاوز حناجرهم. يعني لا يرفع إلى الله عز وجل. يخرجون من الإسلام. They will leave Islam. أعوذ بالله. They will leave Islam. كما يخرج السهم من الرمية. يعني إيش؟ كما تضرب الرمية يعني الرمية المصيد. بسهم يدخل فيه ويخرج من الجهة الأخرى. شوف سرعة دخول يعني وقت بقاء السهم في بدن هذا المصيد هو وقت بقائهم في الإسلام. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, they claim to be Muslim. They're fasting, praying, reading Quran, crying, all these things. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, they will leave Islam as fast as the arrow. When you hunt with the arrow and when you shoot the target, imagine if the arrow going very fast and very sharp, enter from one side of the target and comes from the other side. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the amount of time that the arrow will take by getting in and out, it's a few seconds. That's what exactly their relationship with the true religion. Just claiming, in the other narration he said, what they will have from Islam as what the arrow will have from the blood of the target. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن ما يعلق بهم من الإسلام كما يعلق دم هذه الرمية بريش هذا السهم أو بدرد هذا السهم يعني بريش أو بنصله. I will be more specific in this area by telling you what Imam Ibn Waddah رحمه الله and Imam Ad-Darimi narrated in his Sunan Ibn Waddah في his book إيضاح البدع. He said in the time of Ibn Mas'ud in Kufa. What is Kufa today, by the way? It's part of Baghdad. And that time, there was no Baghdad. It wasn't built that time. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari came to Ibn Mas'ud telling him, Ya Aba Abdul Rahman, adraktu shay'an fi jami'i al-Kufati, istankartu. Qala wa ma hamalaka ala an la tunkira. Qala aradtu an akhudha ra'yak. Shukran adab. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, who's a great Sahabi, came to Ibn Mas'ud saying to Ibn Mas'ud, I have seen something weird and new in the masjid of Kufa. I never saw it before. Haven't seen it. It's something we don't know about it, the Prophet ﷺ companions. Then he said, why you did not refute it or told the people not to do it? He said, no, I want to consult you first. قَالَ وَمَا وَجَدْتُ إِلَّا خَيْرٌ. It's not something very evil. Something looks good. It's something that looks good. He said, let's go. They went and they found people in a big circle. And there is a head of this circle saying to them, سَبِّحُوا مِئَةً. Say Subhanallah 100 times. Then everybody together say collectively, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah 100 times. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah 100 times. And they have stones, they count how many times? 100. Ibn Mas'ud stopped them. قَالَ إِمَّا إِنَّكُمْ عَلَى مِلَّةٍ أَهْدَى مِنْ مِلَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَوْ أَنَّكُمْ مُفْتَتِحُوا بَابِ ضَلَالَهِ. He said, it's one of two things. Either you are bringing something in the religion better than what Muhammad ﷺ brought to us or taught us, or you are starting innovations and misleading people. It's bid'atun balal. Nabi taught us how to make dhikr. He didn't tell us to do the way you're doing it. Uddu sayyi'atikum. You're counting how many dhikr you make. Count your sins. Don't count your good deeds. Qumu. And in another narration, he came and he hit that. You know, they have the stone like They gathered the stone in the middle and he hit it with his feet and he said, go away, everybody goes home, everybody make dhikr by himself. This is not the right way to make dhikr collectively. This is not the way the Prophet ﷺ taught us to do make dhikr. You might see this something small, but the narration didn't end yet. The narrator said, قال فرأيت عامة هؤلاء اللي كانوا في الحلقة يطاعنوننا يوم النهروان. He said, I saw most of those people who were in this gathering in the day of Nahrawan fighting us. Who knows what is Nahrawan is? It's the battle of the Khawarij. Who is the Khawarij? It's those people who the Prophet ﷺ described, which is I told you earlier that the Prophet ﷺ said, when you compare your prayer to them, or your fasting, or you read the Quran to them, it will seem nothing, but they will leave Islam as fast the arrow will leave the target. And Nabi ﷺ said, those group of al-Khawarij, if I see them, if I witness them, لو أدركتهم لأقتلنهم قتل عاد وثمود. I will kill them all, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala killed the people of Ad and Thamud. And in another narration he said, they are the dogs of the hellfire. إنهم كلاب النار شر قتلى تحت أديم السماء خير الناس من قتلهم. The best among you are the one who are going to fight them. And they are the worst people will be killed in the face of the earth. She start with a very small bid'ah. Start with an ideas of just collectively dhikr. It ends up, it developed to be another kind of bid'ah, which is lead them to what? To become kuffar, a'udhu billah, to leave the circle of Islam. Any person, since I spent most of my life in studying Muslim sects and the history of this sect, any one of these sects, when you study it, when you start, you see how to start, it starts with very small thing. It ends up with sometimes leading them out of Islam. Or it ends up that they deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence. Start small and end so big. It's al-bid'ah, barid al-kufr, the first step to the kufr. What's Shi'ism, for example, start? Start by saying, you know, Ali is the Prophet ﷺ's cousin, he's better than Abu Bakr. Here, that period, it doesn't take the person out of Islam. It ends up today by saying, Abu Bakr kafir, Umar kafir, Aisha is kafir, all the Sahaba are kuffar, Hal Quran been changed. All this just to start by saying, Ali is better than Abu Bakr. It ends up today with all this kind of corrupted belief. So the person should know, and that's why knows that this fact that al-bid'ah, it is a step to al-kufr. That's why al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, when he recited this verse, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةِ. He said, al-fitnah is a shirk. What is worse than you believing that you came up with something in the religion better than what Muhammad ﷺ did? Because if it's not better, why you are doing it? Or if it's not better, if you think that you came up with something other than what Muhammad ﷺ brought to us, either you're claiming that the Prophet ﷺ did not deliver the whole message complete, or you're claiming that the Sahaba didn't, or you're claiming that the Prophet ﷺ, he wasn't aware of this issue. Choose one of them, and the best of them is the worst. كما يقال في العربية أحلاها مر. أحلاها مر. Also البدعة bring to the person and to the society, to the community, the ummah, اللعنة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cursed. Allah azza wa jal, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said that المدينة حرام من عير إلى كذا. المدينة, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم city, المدينة, from عير, which is a mountain in المدينة, to another mountain. It is haram, it's a forbidden, it's a secret area. It's forbidden for people to do certain actions or indecent actions. And one of the things that's forbidden for people to do is to make innovations or to start innovation. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِيهَا حَدَثًا عَلَى تَفْسِيرٍ. As some or most of the scholars said, أَحْدَثَ حَدَثًا, it means they start innovations in it. Or something not exist before. Allah cursing and the angels and the believers. قال حافظ ابن حجر الحديث البخاري مسلم ابن حجر said رحمه الله تعالى even though the hadith related to Medina but it's general for all in anywhere it should be take generalized for any other cities take the same rule same thing Shaykh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah said the same thing الشاطبي رحمه الله said the same thing actually been said before all of them and better than all of them الحسن البصري رحمه الله said that أهل الأهواء لعنهم الله وعليهم لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين the people of أهواء desire innovators that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels and the believers and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم also cursed them and Asad ibn Musa he's a great imam from Tunisian his name is Asad al-Sunnah the lion of Sunnah his name is Asad al-Sunnah It's, his life is very interesting, very, very interesting, this person. Anyway, he used this hadith, which is related to Medina, to say it has to be generalized. And he's in the level of Imam Malik students. He's one of the earlier Muslim scholars. He said it's generalized for all innovators. Al-Bid'ah, as you heard, it's lead the person to the hellfire. Al-Bid'ah also lead to humiliation. SubhanAllah. The people of Sunnah always have dignity. And the people of Bid'ah, you can see that they cannot be proud of their Bid'ah. No matter how they try, but still in their heart, and you can tell from their faces. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said, I noticed that in our neighborhood where there's some Shia, when they are young, they look so nice, and just the kids, innocent kids. When they grow up, he said, and they start cursing Abu Bakr and Umar and Aisha. قال فلما كبروا وبدأوا بسب الصديق والصديقة والفاروق والصحابة. When they start cursing الصحابة and Aisha, you see their faces turn to be so dark. They lose this light. They lose this innocent look in their face. But just by the time they became start practicing this bid'ah, and this is a fact. Allah Azza wa Jal said, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ When some faces will be, mashallah, have nur, light in it, and some it's dark. In the Day of Judgment, Ibn Abbas said, the people of Ahl Sunnah, their faces will be, mashallah, light, nur, you can tell. And Ahlul Bid'ah, he said, their faces will be dark. Shaykh al-Islam said, وَلِهَذَا كَانُوا يُشَابِهُونَ الروافض اليهود في أحوال كثيرة منها أنها ضربت عليهم الذلة والمسكنة He said they are very similar to those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the Jewish and among them who reject the message of Allah Azza wa Jal Allah Azza wa Jal He said that they will be humiliated until the day of judgment That's why Abu Qulaba and Abu Qulaba is a student of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He is the famous students of Abu Hurairah. He said, إِنِّي لَأَعْرِفُ الذِّلَّةَ فِي وُجُوهِ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ I will see in their faces darkness and humiliation. They said, how you can tell? He said, Allah said in the Quran, سبحانه سيك فقه هذا الرجل في الاستدلال. He said, they said, where is that? He said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا الْعِجْلَ سَيَنَالُهُمْ غَضَبٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَذِلَّةٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُفْتَرِينَ فِي كُلِّ مُفْتَرٍ عَلَى الدِّينَ Allah وَعَدَهُ بِالذِّلَّةِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا Allah Azza wa Jal said in this verse, those who have taken al-ijl, the calf, as their God, Allah was angry at them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that they will be humiliated in this dunya. And this punishment will be always given to those who lie on us. يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ They will invent things and they will claim it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And basically that's what the innovator is doing. They say, this is part of the religion. Who said that? You claiming part of the religion from Allah. Allah didn't tell us that. Al-Bid'ah brought to us as individuals, as communities and nation, disunity. That's why Al-Bid'ah always connected to disunity. And Sunnah always connected to Jama'ah. We say Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah wa Ahlul Bid'ati wal Furqa. Always like that. Whenever there is Bid'ah, there is disunity. Whenever people leave the Bid'ah and go to the Sunnah, where people will be united. Allah Azza Jal said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Hold fast until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rope. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rope? The Sahaba and the Mufassirin said, Al-Islam, Al-Quran, Al-Sunnah, so many things. All of it can be understood in two words, Al-Quran and Al-Sunnah, or Al-Islam if you want. The real message of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is Allah's rope. If you hold tight to it, what is the result? وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Don't divide. So if you hold tight to Kitab al-Sunnah, no division will happen in this Ummah. We'll never be divided. As much as we leave from this rope, as much as the division will start in this Ummah, as much will this Ummah will be divided. And that's true. What does divide this Ummah except the Bid'ah in the beginning? Groups and everywhere has own way of practice the religion. I'm this way, he's that way. I'm this group, he's that group. Don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that the main reason of this ummah that been divided is the bid'ah. No, wallahi. One of the nature of the bid'ah, whenever a person invent way or inventing bid'ah, he like to give it title. And when you have title, you have people divided based on the titles. So you have, oh, Sufis, he feel he's something by itself. Then you have Shia, it's by itself. It's another title appearing in the history of Islam. Then you have Naqshbandi, you have Ismaili, you have Imami, you have Rifa'i, you have this, you have that, Qubayshiyat, male or female or male. Groups and groups and groups and groups. Everybody came up with the title, the Ummah start dividing. This is Mu'tazili, this is Ash'ari, this is Madri Ash. And so on. And everybody will bring a name and or a title and will raise a banner and call people to follow his way and his sheikh. And this is the way the Ummah divide. If you want a practical example, I'll give you two examples very similar to each other and related to the best among us. The best among Muslims are the scholars and the du'at. In the early Muslims' history, there is a lot of school of thoughts, teaching knowledge. In the time of the Sahaba, we had the Madrasat al-Kufa, or Ibn Mas'ud, Ibn Abbas, in Mecca, you have in Medina, you have after that also in the second generations, in Egypt, in Damascus. All of these schools, people were students of Ibn Abbas, students of Ibn Mas'ud, students of Mu'ad, and so on. Abu Darda in Damascus. Then the second generation, the same thing. Hassan al-Basri, Sa'id ibn Musayyib. And after that, Imam Malik, Abu Hanifa. Shaykh al-Islam يقول حتى جاء القرن الرابع. Until the fourth generation, the four, 300 and extra, 300 something in Islam. Something start in the Muslim world, a bid'ah, innovations. Muslim never knew it before. It called bid'ah al-ta'assub al-madhhab. That people start calling to follow one imam blindly. To be an extreme fan of one of these scholars and only recognize him and not to recognize anybody else. Thinking that everything said or everything in that opinion or that madhab, that school has to be 100% correct. To the extent we had in the history of the Muslim who said, قولنا صحيح لا يحتمل الخطأ. Our opinion absolutely correct. I have no doubt it can be wrong. And other opinion absolutely wrong cannot be right. حتى قال الدبوسي, one of the scholars who fell in the trap in this bid'ah. And he is أصولي. He wrote a book, it's called أصول الاستدلال والنظر. Hanafi. He said, كل آية أو حديث تخالف قول إمامنا منسوخة أو مؤولة وكل حديث يأتي على خلاف قول إمامنا إما منسوخ أو باطل. وقال مثله الكرخي في كتابه أيضا في الأصول. He said to that extreme, to that level, he said every single verse or hadith goes against what our Imam said is basically this hadith or this ayah either been abrogated by another evidence, so our Imam, our Imam's opinion has to be correct, and he has another hadith or verse abrogate this hadith you bring against us, or this hadith is weak, or this ayah has another meaning, we don't know what is it, but it cannot contradict our Imam's opinion. Can you believe to that extent? Yes. When it reached that level, listen to what Yaqut al-Hamawi said. Who knows Yaqut al-Hamawi? Yaqut al-Hamawi has a book, it considered in the history of humanity, one of the best books written in geography, and mixed between geography and the history of each city. He described the city, the roads, and start talking about where it's located and all things related to geography. Then he talked about the history of this city. It's a wonderful book. It's called Mu'jam al-Buldan. Mu'jam al-Buldan li-Yaqut al-Hamawi. Has a lot of interesting stories. Anyway, Yaqut al-Hamawi, when he start talking about one of the cities in that time, which is Asbahan, he said, ظَهَرَ الْخَرَابُ فِي نَوَاحِيهَا. It never has a time, Asbahan, to be settled. It's always in a status of war and distraction. Why? Because there were always a war between the Shafi'is and the Hanafi. When the Shafi'i be more stronger, they will invade the Hanafis and they take over their houses, destroy their masjids, and they will take their wealth, they will take their books, they will burn their books, and they will lock up their fuqaha and scholars. Whenever the Hanafi come together and bringing gangs, and I mean that, gangs and thieves, and the same thing the Shafi'i does, bring people to help them in fighting and making a group or a fighters, they will go invade the Shafi'is, they will take over, all the judge will be Hanafi in that time, and all the Shafi'i will be thrown in jail. That's the way this city used to be. Yes. If you don't read the history, when that bid'ah start with just extra love to that Imam, it turned to be that way. Whoever read the history of Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, when he went to Egypt, Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi is Hanbali. Egypt in that time was Shafi'is. Shafi'is or Hanafi, Hanafi and Shafi'is. When he start teaching, preaching in Egypt, Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, they gather and they said, if this man stay in Egypt, Egypt will turn to be Hanbali. They put 200 pieces of gold for whoever murdered Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi. That extreme, that's rejecting, that lead to that, that small bid'ah lead to that extent. Mecca, not 100 years ago, we had 4 imams, 4 adhan, 4 mihrabs for each madhab. Yes, we still have in our book of fiqh, some of the fiqh books saying Hanafi woman cannot marry Shafi'i man and Hanafi man cannot marry a Shafi'i female, but the Shafi'i Hanafi male allowed to marry a Jew or Christian female. Yes, this is not, we're not doing that from our own. It's exist in the history and it's still up to date. Existed, alhamdulillah, this bid'ah start to vanish. The problem wasn't Abu Hanifa. The problem wasn't Malik. The problem was not Shafi'i or Ahmad. The problem of those who are extremist or the people, the followers of these imams, who turn this school of thought to be an only one way of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, which is something bid'ah. The Sahaba never said, you have to be Ibn Mas'udi, or you have to be Abu Bakri, and you cannot leave that. No, that's bid'ah. That's a new thing in the religion. Same thing happened in da'wah. Also divide the du'at and the people involved in da'wah. There were different school of da'wahs. Came to happen supposedly to bring people back to the religion of Islam, but another type of extremist. Oh, my way is the best way. I will tell you my own experience to show you how sad things can turn to be. I gave once a speech in a masjid, and one brother came. He is from other country. He was visiting. He hugged me. MashaAllah, I love your speech. Oh, Jazakallah khair. He said, from where you come? They have khuruj in that masjid. I said, I live in Houston. MashaAllah. So, are you going with us in this weekend? I said, I'm going this weekend to Chicago, and it happened to have a program in Chicago. He said, so you go with the group to Chicago? I said, no, I don't go with any group. I'm going by myself. I'm traveling by the airplane. He said, yeah, for our group who's going to Chicago. I said, no. He said, you just said you're going to Chicago for da'wah. I said, yes, I have lectures there. He said, no. This doesn't work. Wallahi, that's his word. This doesn't count. Doesn't work. You have to be with us. I said, you going to Chicago for what? For fun? To watch NBA? He said, no, we're going for da'wah. I said, I'm going for what? For da'wah too. He said, no, it has to be with us. I said, why? That mentality, that's, he cannot understand that, you know, you can't do that. It's another type of way of following the du'a. Divide the ummah. This group is this, this group is that, this group is this. And this circle has certain levels and names and rules and regulations. Has nothing to do with the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Islam has a beautiful word before I pass this point. Said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ. I have seen most of the people. When it comes to aqidah and fiqh, they will make sure that they follow the sunnah. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ لِلسُّلُوكِيَّاتِ رَأَيْتُهُمْ يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَأَذْوَاقَهُمْ وَكَأَنَّ سُنَّةَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيْسَ فِيهَا غُنْيَةً لَهُمْ. He said, I noticed that so many people, it comes to salah, to ibadah, to aqidah, what is the dalil, what's the proof? But when it comes to sulukiyat, behavior, and among this area, da'wah, they don't look at the Prophet ﷺ's sunnah. They don't look at the way the Prophet ﷺ and his companion. They start their own ways. The inventing, and this part of the religion, cannot be done in your desires or your own way. To practice bid'ah in doing the da'wah also. It has to be also following the steps of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, the bid'ah brought to us disunity and all the distractions, weakness. One of the main reasons for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger, and to make this ummah very weak, we lose our strength. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not bless this ummah if we are like that. You look at the history. Marwan, the last Khalifa of Bani Umayyah, he called Marwan al-Himar. He adopted the belief of al-Jahmiyyah. And he loved that and he started supporting it. When he started adopting this belief, which is one of the most corrupted beliefs in the history of Muslims, Jahmiyyah belief, it means that Allah doesn't have any name, any attribute. Allah is just something, exist and not exist. That's what the bottom line of this group. He adopted this idea. Allah destroyed Bani Umayyah. That country no more longer deserved to be leading the Muslims. Abbasi came after them. When Bani Abbas, especially after Al-Ma'mun, he's the first one who ordered the imams to curse Abu Bakr and Umar on members. Was the first one in the history that a Khalifa gave an order for imams to do that. And he became Shi'i in the end of his days. And after that, when this start happening in the Ummah, what happened to the Abbasi? Down. When they became pure allies with the Rafidah, with the people who curse Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the shirk appeared in the Ummah, Allah destroyed Bani Abbas. Then Bani Uthman, the Ottomans, kings, when the Ottomans in the old days accept the extremist Sufism, type of Sufism, and supporting it, and supporting the idea of having graves to be built on the graves, and these graves to be worshipped against Allah, to be worshipped beside Allah Azza wa Jal, and they support that idea, and they fought anyone, call for tawheed, or asking people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, any movement were to call people to the pure message of tawheed, direct order from the Khalifa in Istanbul for that person or this movement to be executed and to be ended right away. What happened to Bani Uthman? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let who is worse than them to divide this old sick man to different countries. And today when you look to the ummah in general, what is controlling it? The bid'ah has a control over so many Muslims' world. When the occupations of Egypt ended, they asked one of the big lieutenant, the British lieutenant, they asked him in England, how can we make sure that Egypt will not rise against us in the future, or they will not go against our benefits in the area? He said, don't worry. We left Egypt, but we left behind us 300 Sufis groups. لَقَدْ تَرَكْنَا خَلْفَنَا 300 طَرِيقَ صُوفِيَّةً. How England was able to control India. And India, it means India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, this huge area, all these Muslims. By what? By supporting the Brelwis and giving Ahmed Brelwi a lot of opportunities to spread his ideas, to corrupt the society. Napoleon, he wrote to the Pope saying that when he was in Egypt, he said, there is a movement in Arabia led by a Bedouin man, his name is Muhammad ibn Wahab. That movement is very dangerous for us in Rome. Why you think Napoleon, who will write something like that about a man, he just starting da'wah, small da'wah in a small city in Arabia. He wrote to the Pope saying, it's a very dangerous movement. We have to end it from now. It is considered a threat, a direct threat to Catholicism, to Rome. And this something been documented. Not only him, Marx, he talked about this movement. And he said it can be very dangerous. Because basically it just calling people to go back to the root. To the pure message. Same thing happened in Egypt, in Libya, in so many other countries, in Pakistan, and so in Africa, in so many countries in that time. Because bid'ah is something guaranteed that this ummah will be in drugs. You see somebody in drugs? If you see somebody in drugs, he's just here and not here. That's what bid'ah does. Make people just busy and concentrate about things which is not beneficial. The bid'ah prevent us also from so many things, as it brought all these evil things to us. Prevent the society that sunnah will be spread. Because when there is a limited time, you can do certain things. If your time, if your efforts, if your actions occupied with bid'ah, it cannot be occupied with sunnah. That's why whenever bid'ah appear, there is sunnah disappear. When there is bid'ah appear, sunnah disappear. Straight. The bid'ah also prevent the person from receiving the Prophet ﷺ intercession in the Day of Judgment. صنفان من أمتي لا تنالهما شفاعتي. Two type of people will not receive the Prophet ﷺ intercession in the Day of Judgment. Unjust ruler and innovator. سلطان غشوب ومبتدع أو غال في الدين. غال في الدين. Also the bid'ah prevent the person from drinking from the Prophet ﷺ pool in the Day of Judgment. When the Prophet ﷺ will recognize some of his ummah in the Day of Judgment and will call them to drink from his pool. If he recognized them, that means they are Muslims because they have the sign of Islam, which is علاماتُ الوضوء, the sign of wudu. Because if it's kafir, nothing will be accepted from him. He's Muslim. But what the angel said, you don't know what they have changed after you. They invent things in the religion, it's not part of the religion. That's why the scholar said this hadith is mainly related to the innovators who came after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I'm just going to mention points and you might think about it. But this is an important question. How can I recognize the bid'ah and the innovators? I don't want to be involved in any bid'ah or supporting any innovators. How can I recognize the innovations? First of all, you have to know that bid'ah always has doesn't stand or based on any authentic narration or any authentic proof. The bid'ah always, the proof, yeah, it's good. Nothing wrong with it. وفي إيه؟ خير خير على خير. يعني always based on this kind. It's a good thing. Don't worry. يعني he didn't say Allah said Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. No, he said يا أخي it's good. Yeah, nothing wrong with it. It's a good thing. My intention is good. Always the bid'ah based on this kind of evidence. Two, always bid'ah based on a very general, loose and unclear verses or hadith. And mostly verses, because the verses is more general than the hadith. A hadith always specific. And that's why the bid'ah always based on very general hadith. And this is a rule. If يقول الأصوليون التخصيص تشريع والتشريع يفتقر إلى الدليل. Say that again. التخصيص, to specify something on time, on location, on numbers. You say, I have to make dhikr 100 times or in this certain time, on this certain location. This giving this specifications to any act of worship, it is basically tashri. You are ordaining something. It's saying it is a religion, as if it's part of it. You need proof for this specification. It is equal then, like somebody came up with something totally new, not exist in Islam. It's not because, oh, dhikr is generally exist, but when you specify the dhikr, specify the act of worship in certain times, in certain amount, in certain locations, you need a proof for that. Without that, don't accept it. Without that, don't accept it. The people of bid'ah, they don't like sunnah. They run away when they hear the word, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The bid'ah also has no based on the Prophet ﷺ companions' actions. There's no narration to support that the Sahaba did that. One of the way to say to any innovators, did Abu Bakr understood that? Did Abu Bakr practice that? Did Umar understand that? Yes, alhamdulillah. No, خلاص, he knows better. If this is good, Abu Bakr wouldn't let it go. Like celebrating the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يعني why Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Ibn Mas'ud, all the Sahaba, they ignore it. And they love the Prophet the most. They respect the Prophet the most. They are the most knowledgeable people of the religion of Islam. But they didn't. If this is the case, it means it's not right. That's why when Ibn Abbas debate Al-Khawarij, I told you about them and Ali, and the Prophet described him, what Ibn Abbas told him, there is none of the Prophet companion with you. All of them with Ali. None of them understand what you understand in here. This understanding is not by the Prophet companions. So leave it. The bid'ah always hide their ugly face or the bid'ah and the evil of the bid'ah behind the curtain of righteousness. Crying and mashallah, very humble, very, sometimes the good manners, they appear in very good manners or talking very nicely, gently, or crying and mashallah, qiyam al-lil, ya akhi, who very slow motions when they talk, when they, and just to hide this, and this is very common. That's why Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu been told there is a person, whenever he read Quran, he faint. He said, this is mubtadi', leave him alone. Ala tul straight. He said, why? He said, because the Sahaba has more soft heart than him and they never fainted. This is the shaitan taking over his heart and his mind. Don't let these things to deceive you. Exactly like the Prophet ﷺ said, if you compare their prayer, their fasting, don't let these things to deceive you. So many sisters, so many brothers been deceived by al-madahir al-khadi', this false appearing. Also, karamat, they said, oh, this sheikh has mashallah supernatural things. There's miracles happen in his hand, on his hand. I said, this is not the way to know the true from the wrong. And in this regard, I highly recommend you to read, if it's English, I think it's translated, a book, it's called Al-Furqan بين أولياء الرحمن وأولياء الشيطان by Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. It's a wonderful book in related to this subject. And the innovators always run away from the true scholars. They will not ever, you see them quoting from the scholars. Unknown people. And when they want to make one of these unknowns, they give them these big titles. Al-Allamatu al-Shaykh al-Sahib al-Karamat al-Awliya, all these names. But in reality, the real scholars, the people who follow Sunnah, they wouldn't accept from them. They will always take a titles other than the title of As-Sunnah or following the Salaf al-Ummah, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Brothers and sisters, the bid'ah is so common in the Muslim world today. And basically because this is something as shaitan work in it 24/7. He wants everybody to be involved in it. Al-bid'ah is so common because so many Muslims, they practice the religion not based on knowledge, based on my father, my culture. This is the way we do it back home. This is the way I saw my parents doing that. So they inheriting the religion. That's why the bid'ah is so popular. The bid'ah also is so popular because bid'ah has two sides. One side is, it's a religious issue. It's something I please Allah with it. But the other hidden side, which is dangerous of it, which is you have heard today, is not there. You can't really realize it. That's why it became so popular. Bid'ah is so popular because most of the people, regardless what's their country, what is their race is, they are not familiar with the Arabic language. And that is, Shafi'i said, bid'ah start appearing when people start losing the Arabic tongue and using the tongue of Aristotle, which is the Latin tongue, or studying philosophers and studying, or basically they leave the Arabic language. And this is something very common. If the Prophet ﷺ, some brothers, if you bring some ahadith to them and you read it, maybe he wouldn't understand 20% from the hadith. Imagine if the Prophet front of him and he talking to him. That means he will need a translator, even if he knows Arabic. The bid'ah is so popular because there is no much scholars in this ummah. And this is a fact. Scholars are few in the ummah. When you divide the number of scholars toward the number of the Muslims who live. Also, because sunnah is not popular. Because the fabricated hadith, the weak narration became so popular. And this is bring all this bid'ah to us. The bid'ah is so popular and famous in societies and communities when the leader of the communities, when the leader of the Muslim countries, when the leader, the religious leaders or the political leaders for the Muslim countries and societies and even masjids and Islamic centers in our life, local level, are people who are not the people of knowledge. Or they do not consult the people of knowledge. Or they do not expose themselves to the knowledge. What do you expect? You expect bid'ah innovations and other ways of practicing the religion and leading the communities and the Muslims other than the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever we brought the innovators and praised them and put them in the stage and try and let them address their bid'ah to the people and allow them without refuting this bid'ah, bid'ah will be spreaded and innovations will be so common and popular. The bid'ah is so popular sometimes, brothers and sisters, because the people of sunnah, they step back. They are sitting in their chairs. They like to be in the back. They would not like to take the lead. When there is a masjid need an imam, you don't see the people of sunnah take the lead of that. Whenever we need somebody to do something, he will, no, then others will take who doesn't follow sunnah. So it is because of us, Ahlul Sunnah, sometimes we do not take the initiative or we don't take the lead when it comes to the service the community. The bid'ah became so common also sometimes because some of Ahlul Sunnah, they don't have the proper manners. And that's why people will run away from the Sunnah and will not feel that they are close to the Sunnah, to the correct belief. That's why if you notice Ibn Taymiyyah when he wrote the book Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah, in the end he talked about the manners. The whole subject in the end about the manners. Why? As if he's telling you, all this Aqidah, very good, cannot be put in practical or to call people for it if you don't have this last chapter, which is the manners, the good manners. And the people of innovations always they like to have the good manners. And by the way, they have a good manners in the beginning. That's a common sense between them. The innovators, the people calling bid'ah, they are good whenever they give you da'wah. But if they knew that you are Sunni and true Muslim, you're not going to leave your sunnah for their bid'ah, you will see the most ugly face come and appear. And the hate will appear in their actions. Just, يعني, very, as we said, hijab bas raqiq hakadha yada'una. Brothers and sisters, no doubt that bid'ah spread in the Muslims world because of the support also of the enemy of Islam, those who have animosity toward Muslims and they want to destroy the Islam, they will give full support to such people and over the Ahlul Sunnah. May Allah Azza wa Jal to make us among those who will realize that it is a very heavy message upon our shoulder to spread the Sunnah and to call people to back to the Sunnah, Sunnah to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to protect ourselves, our family, our community from the bid'ah. I would love that every one of us, after this lecture, he review himself. He make this as a common or a rule. Any kind of worship you used to do, ask yourself, did the Prophet ﷺ did it that way or not? Make sure that the way you pray is the way of the Prophet ﷺ. Make sure that the way you make dhikr, it's the way the Prophet ﷺ. In the smallest thing to the biggest thing. From the belief to the daily practicing act of worship. May Allah Azza wa Jal an yufaqihna wa iyyakum fid din wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
This concludes the lecture. We pray that you benefited from this, and we ask Allah to let it be a means of embetterment in this life and the next. For more lectures by this or other learned speakers, or to find out more information about Dar al-Arqam, log on to www.ciie.org. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.